This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Beds for Pets. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So today is all about the birds. I don't think we give birds enough credit, and we don't talk about them enough, at least not on Best Beds for Pets. And they are truly amazing creatures. My guest today has one of the most clever products I have seen in a long time, and I'm excited to tell you all about it and have him on the show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome David Mann from Haiku Box. Welcome, David. And you are the creator, correct?
Yes, I am. Oh, and part of the team that created it.
Welcome so much to Best Bets for Pets.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So what is Haiku Box?
So Haiku Box is a device that you plug in your backyard to listen for birds, and it's listening all the time. And what it does is it's listening for the particular songs that different bird species make. So it can tell cardinals apart from blue jays, apart from gnatcatchers. And then it'll give you a summary every day of all of the birds it heard, little sound clips that you can listen to. It can give you alerts, like if there's a bald eagle it detects, it can give you an alert and you can run outside and go try to find it.
Okay, thanks. Your background, you're a bird lover from the time you were really small, really young, right?
Yeah, that's right. When I was really young, so I grew up in central New York. We're in Florida now. And I used to go bird watching a lot when I was like 8 years old, and then didn't know it at the time, but we were trespassing all the time to go bird watching. So yeah, I've been doing bird watching for a long time, but my background is really as a scientist and a marine biologist. And so I've been studying sounds underwater for about 30 years.
Wow.
And so Haiku Box kind of actually grew out of a collaboration with a colleague of mine who also did underwater work, but was at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, where they studied birds a lot.
So I have a wonderfully new appreciation for birds, having watched, and I'm not associated with this at all, having watched a program that was just on called The Americas.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
I have not. I've saw the previews for it. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, there are birds. They talk about different types of animals, from large mammals to sea creatures to insects to birds. And it's incredible, the sounds and the way birds do their mating calls, mating dances. And a lot of that was in the different episodes of The Americas, which you would love it. From your background, you would definitely love it. But they're fascinating creatures. What is it about birds that makes people excited about birds?
You know, I think birds are one of the animals that are part of everyone's, you know, daily existence apart from their pets. So it's, I think, the animals that people have the most experience with wild animals. And they're seasonal. So they're, you know, this is in May. And so they're starting to migrate north, many species up from Central and South America. And so there's like, oh, you know, these warblers showed up. And so it's a harbinger of spring. So I think it's something that people have a lot of contact with. And they they make up a big part of all of, you know, the interesting sounds that we hear when we're outside.
Okay, thanks. And where did the name haiku box come from? I know the box part, but haiku.
So haiku is a Japanese poetry style. And we chose that name because haiku poems tend to involve nature and also things changing. So like changing of the seasons and what animals do as those seasons change. And you know, our goal is actually to not only detect birds, but we're also working on detecting frog sounds and other types of animal sounds.
Okay. And how does the haiku box work?
So it has a microphone and a little computer inside. And so the microphone is recording the sound and it turns the sound into an image, like a picture. And then it uses these AI neural nets that you've all heard of to look at that image of the sound and determine what it is from a huge library that was trained originally by folks from the Cornell University Lab of Ornithology. So it's the same way, like on your phone, it'll organize like your dog photos in one thing and your cat photos in another folder automatically. We're doing the same thing, but we're actually doing it with images of sound.
Okay, images and sound. So, and this might be relatable for people listening like myself that are not scientists. Does it work a little bit like, I'm just trying to relate it to something that we're all familiar with, like how Shazam works for hearing songs?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So, like similarly, the technology behind Shazam, but at least when it first came out, I'm not sure what they're doing now. It had a library of known like songs it would have to classify. And so the way it was figuring out exactly which one you were listening to from a short clip is a little bit different from how we work. So it's more like if you were trying to, I'll break it into two parts. One is like, how do you make an image of sound? And so the way that works is you break apart the different frequencies. So you might have low frequencies and high frequencies, and you separate those in an image. And that's sort of the vertical part of the image. And then time is going across. And so we have these 3-second clips that we'll take and we'll turn those into an image. So Cornell, for decades, has collected a library of recordings of known bird species. So they have thousands of recordings from thousands of different species of birds. And so, you know, not all birds make the same song even all the time. Like cardinals have many different kinds of songs they sing. So they'll have many, many examples of the different kinds of songs from cardinals from all over the U.S. They make images of these, and then basically you train, the neural network is looking at them, and it's basically saying, oh, you train it to recognize the particular features that say, oh, that's a cardinal. So I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yeah, this is fascinating. It's okay. A much, much, much more sophisticated technology than Shazam. So it not only recognizes the sound, but it identifies the actual bird. Then you have something called Bird Alert. What is that?
So the Bird Alerts are, so the system is connected to a cloud service. And so basically, if you have, for example, like right now, a lot of birds are migrating through the U.S. from south to north. And so if it hears a bird that it hasn't heard in the past week a bunch of times, it'll say, hey, you have a new bird alert. And it's like, oh, we just detected a black and white warbler. And then so you're then aware of kind of what's coming through. A lot of birds don't hang out. So I can... I have embarrassing stories to tell. So I've lived in Florida for like 25 years.
That's always interesting.
Yeah. Well, I've lived here in Florida for 25 years, and there's a bird called the cedar waxwing that is actually fairly common, and I'd never seen one. And when I was a kid, there was a picture of one on, you know, one of the front of my birding books. And I was like, ah, I've never seen that. They must be really hard to find. And as soon as we like built the first haiku box and we're testing it here, I was getting alerts that, oh, there's cedar waxwings here. And I was like, no, they're not. I've lived here for 25 years. I've never seen one. And then finally, I went outside and I looked up, and there was like 15 of them in the tree in my front yard.
Wow.
But they only stay there for like 2 minutes. So it turns out it's also a great way to learn the different songs and calls that birds make. So for the cedar waxwing, they have really high-pitched sound that most people probably would ignore. But once you hear it, and learn it, then you, when you hear that again, you know, oh, there's a flock of cedar waxwings nearby.
Wow. What about, like, sometimes in the evening, there's some birds, I hear a loud bird sound all the time, and I haven't identified what it is. So what about the loudness? Does that make a difference with haiku box? Does it pick up at least general sounds as well as, like, the loud, whatever sounds that you hear?
You might be like an owl. Lots of different owls, especially at dusk, will produce loud sounds. So it's much easier for it to identify loud sounds than quiet ones, but it actually does fairly well even with quiet sounds. Oh, the other thing I was going to point out, there's a really cool app from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology called Merlin that uses a similar technology that runs as an app on your phone. So when you hear that bird outside that's really loud at night, you want to go find out what it is. If you open Merlin and go outside, it will listen for it and tell you.
So it's called Merlin, like,
Merlin, yeah.
wasn't that a magician or something?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a bird called the Merlin.
And then there's the marlin, which is
The Merlin's a fish, but yeah, there's a
fish
Merlin with the
and a bad
bird and
baseball team. I think, I don't know if they're doing that good in Florida, but right? Marlins?
Marlin, they're doing okay.
See, that's why you don't know, we don't know about them. But I figured in the back of my head, yep, it's there because we're based in Florida too. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk with David Moore about the haiku box. We'll be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to David Mann. He is part of the team that created the Haiku Box, which identifies bird sounds with AI technology. And it's really fascinating, David. So let's talk about, say, if someone always wanted to have a pet. It's hard to have a pet if you have certain allergies or where you live, but observing birds, I mean, it's kind of, in a way, having a pet, just they're just not in your house.
Yeah, certainly it can be.
So how would someone get started with the Haiku Box? It's in the shape of, like, almost about the size of a cell phone.
Yeah, it's a bit bigger. Yeah, so you have to plug it in outside and hang it up, and then you connect it to your Wi-Fi. And after that, you don't have to do anything. And so there's a phone app and there's a website that you can go to look at the recordings and detections that are coming in. And you can also, so we have a few thousand of them running around the world right now. And there's a map on the website and app that you can go to. And if people have their haiku boxes public, you can go see what they're detecting as well.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Yes.
What are some of the benefits of listening to birds, getting into bird watching? Because we have a lot of people that are, on the show, they probably have a cat or dog or lizard or something. And birds. We have people that have birds, of course. But, I mean, we have a wide audience. Let's talk about
Sure.
getting more into birds. What are some of the benefits?
So, like, a benefit of a dog. Like, so we have a beautiful blue tick coonhound. And she actually gets us outside probably more than we would. And she gets us walking around. And I think birds can do the same thing as well. Once you start paying attention to even the common birds, like the blue jays and the cardinals, they're just really cool. And they'll do funny things. If you even get a bird feeder in your backyard, you can start paying attention. Like, blue jays will imitate the calls of hawks to try to scare other birds away. And so as you just pay attention to them, even if it's like a few minutes a day, you can kind of learn what their habits are and kind of like the things that they do. And like what the really smart ones do and the ones that are not quite as smart.
As in any species, you have a little.
Yes.
What about other noises you mentioned? So you said that frogs will be picked up, probably ducks.
Yeah, frogs, ducks, coyotes.
Raccoons? Do raccoons make noises?
Raccoons do make noises, at least when you're like handling them. But I don't know. They don't make sound a lot. Squirrels do. Part of the reason we need to know what the other animals are making is that sometimes those animal sounds will sound like a bird. And so we have to tell them apart. So definitely coyotes and frogs are pretty big. And obviously insects.
coyotes, frogs, and insects?
Oh, yeah, plenty of, yeah, cicadas. So cicadas get going. They're very loud. They'll call continuously. Crickets, katydids.
But it only identifies birds right now.
Yeah, we only show you birds. We identify dogs barking, but we we don't share that information.
I was going to ask about that. But just as a side note, I don't know why someone want to hear dogs barking. That's not as pleasant as hearing birds. But could you identify, if you wanted to do a box, you know, something with dogs, identify dogs by their bark?
Yeah, minimally the size, but probably also the breed to some extent. So our coon hound has a wonderful houndish howl that she lets out when she's happy. And so she's actually trained in a Kubox data set so that we know it's a dog. But there are some dogs, you know, people will contact us and go, my dog's getting, you know, classified as a great blue heron. And it's,
oh, wow.
A lot of the wading birds have kind of barky like sounds that they make. And so that's why it'll happen. And so it's pretty funny when that happens.
Does Haiku Box identify if, say, a bird was in distress?
Well, the short answer is no.
What about distance?
So we only sort of know distance by how loud it is, but different species are also sing at different levels. So some are extremely loud and you can hear them really far away, and then others aren't as loud. So yeah, the things that we would love to be able to do, but we can't quite do now, are actually get an estimate of how many birds are calling. We can tell you how many different species are calling and how often we hear calls, but we don't know if it's, say, one cardinal or five cardinals in your yard.
Oh, interesting. So, David, let's talk about also when you hear the haiku box on your website, it says chances are the bird is right outside. So as far as distance, is the bird generally close enough that you could see the bird, or you'd have to get, I mean, with bird binoculars, of course, looking in the trees and all over? Or is it just, you know, if you don't move in 2 minutes, you're not going to see the bird?
It depends on the bird a lot. So yeah, usually it's, you know, it's within 100 feet of the haiku box. But there are other birds, for example, like the osprey and bald eagle, they're going to be really high in the sky if you pick those up from very far away. Another one is like swallowtail kites, which again is kind of flying around and moves pretty fast. So if you get a detection on those generally and you want to see it, you go outside right away.
You know, I just thought about something. I don't think you'd classify it as a bird, but I'm not really sure. What about bats?
Oh, bats. Bats are super interesting. So bats are a mammal.
See?
So yeah, so they're a mammal. They give birth to young. And so they are generally coming out at night, and usually you can't hear them, but they're making a ton of sound. So bats will echolocate because they're flying around in the dark, and so they'll emit kind of a sonar-like signal.
Very high pitch, or so, like you
said. Very high pitch, like above our hearing range, that will bounce off trees, insects, houses, the ground, so that they can tell what's going on around them. And so they're primarily eating insects. So they're basically, you know, trying to figure those things out. So our current haiku box can't do bats because our microphone doesn't go to the frequencies of sound that they make, but we are looking at maybe making a supercharged bat version that can do both birds and bats.
That's pretty cool. That was going to be my next question. And I have no idea why bats flew into my head, but, you know, just one of those things.
Oh, it's a good one. No, they are totally reliant on sound for getting around. And so, and they're loud, except you can't hear
them. Except you can't hear them, right? So
they're loud to each other.
It's an amazing world out there, you know?
It is, yeah.
That you don't even know about. And even things, you know, I know we're talking about birds, but, you know, what do you have a lot in South Florida? Ducks everywhere, right?
Yes.
Kinds of ducks. Ducks. They cross the road. You see all the cars are stopped. Why? Okay, there's a duck and its little chickies going across, which happens a lot, and turtles. But, you know, they're really smart. Ducks you could talk to. They kind of seem to, I don't know much about ducks, but they seem to like shake their booty as if they're like wagging their tail
yep.
to you, right?
Yep.
And birds, like I was talking about earlier from the Americas, are just that show the Americas are just amazingly creatures. What would you like to do next besides bats and birds? What would you like to do for and have the haiku box be able to do, say, in 5 years?
Oh, well, in 5 years, ideally, we could do everything that's common that's making sound. would be very cool. So one of the things that we're doing, because we have a network, right? So we have thousands of these out there, is actually you can see when different species are migrating and kind of get that larger view of what's going on. We did a fun study on the eclipse that was about a year ago, looking to see what the birds did during totality. So this is the one that went from like Texas kind of up to New York, Vermont, Maine, and Canada. So a lot of the birds got quiet, like after it got dark, but you had to be like in the zone of totality, not even at the edge for that to happen. That was a cool, fun thing to look at as well. So one of the things that we'd really like to do is to be able to analyze a lot of the data that we have. So we have, you know, over a billion recordings. And so there's lots and lots of fun things you can look at. You can look at dialects in species, like does the sparrow in this part of the country sound different than the sparrow in that part of the country?
Why would that happen?
So most songbirds have a learned song that they kind of partly learning from their parent or the other birds around that act as tutors. And so if you have birds in different places, those things can kind of drift. There may be selective pressures for having certain kinds of songs as well, because they're often, typically it's a male songbird singing and trying to attract a female to mate with. And so he may be being selected by the female for a particular type of song as well.
Yeah, pretty incredible. And where can people buy Haiku Box?
You can buy it on Amazon.com, or you can also buy it from our website, haikubox.com.
And people can also find out other things on your site. What are some of the things they can also learn on your site?
So we have sort of two websites. We have the haikubox.com website is, you know, where you can buy the Haiku Box, and you can learn about, you know, what other people's experiences with it have been. There's a whole bunch of resources. We have a weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to. You don't have to own a Haiku Box, that kind of looks at history of studying birds and cool, interesting facts about different species that comes out every week. So yeah, there's a lot of great resources there too.
Okay. And your other website is?
So the other website is, if you have a Haiku Box, it'll show you a map of all the Haiku Boxes in the world. So if you want to go, like, you know, look at one in a different part of the country, or I just noticed we had one in Nome, Alaska, and you can go click on it and see what birds are detecting there and what they sound like. And you can also obviously look at the birds that your Haiku Box is detecting as well. I should say, you actually don't need to buy a Haiku Box to use that website as well. You can just play around with it and see what's going on.
Okay, and learn about birds.
Yeah.
Okay, well, David, I want to thank you so much for coming on Best Bets for Pets and teaching us more about birds and as well as the Haiku Box.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Michelle.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. If you like birds or sounds, technology, check out Haiku Box. It is amazing, the birds that you hear. And it's haikubox.com. So be sure to check it out. Be sure to check out haikubox.com. I want to thank my guest, David Mann, for coming on Best Bets for Pets. Thanks to my crew, which, okay, ironically, they're cats, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. They're my inspiration while I listen to the birds. They like to watch the birds. They don't attack them. They're in their catio. And, of course, thanks to everybody listening to Best Bets for Pets. I appreciate your listenership so much. And, of course, the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. Mark, thank you so much for all you do. And remember, you never know what we're going to have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.